You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on The Cooligans, you're going to find out where we are because we are not at home. We are traveling quite a bit. So stick around for a big, big surprise. We talk about the MLS Cup playoffs. We just got back from New England. NYCFC moves on. David Ochoa's talking smack. Bobby Wood is succeeding. And we do some bottom bins in Coleman Bowl and look at some of those plays and a whole lot more.
That's right. Plus, we give a shout out to Daryl Grove. It's his birthday, so please remember him. A year gone. We absolutely love you, Daryl. We hope you're watching, and we hope you're laughing along with us. Also, we hope you like this interview that we have, because we talked to Tim Howard, the legend. I tried to talk to Tim Howard, but Christian is just going goo-goo gaga over this interview. He gets to talk to
kissing the screen.
I know. Dude, you're dirtying my laptop. He's the reason why Christian is an Everton fan, and you know, we ask him a couple questions, including, if we were ever hypothetically in Liverpool, what should we do? That and more today on The Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris.
And Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
The Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Okay, where in the world are Alexis and Christian?
Hey, it worked out. I was like, he's gonna lose it. And Cooligans doesn't fit in there, and he went with the first names. Very nice. Oh man,
what is good, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of The Cooligans.
That's right.
And oh boy, there's a lot to unpack today.
It's not just the funniest; it's also the gulliest, but it's also the most sleep deprived right now. I mean, we have been traveling all over, and it doesn't stop.
Right. As of at this moment right now, we have just gotten back home from New England, from the bright lights of Foxborough, Massachusetts. Okay.
Yeah.
The big city, as they
That's
call
right.
it.
The big pear. Nothing is there and everything shuts down at 9 p.m., by the way. Hey, you know what else gets shut down? The New England Revolution.
The New England Revolution are out of the playoffs. NYCFC won in penalties in one of the greatest games I've ever seen live. I mean, unbelievable. Roller coaster of emotions for both teams, but NYCFC came out victorious in this game. So
amazing.
So people know exactly how we're feeling right now. So people, they know the tone, they know how we feel, they know how tired we are. But there's also more, because not only are we going to talk about that game, but we're also going to talk to an absolute American icon, legend. Tim Howard is going to be joining us today.
The real Tim Howard, not like the accountant, you know, from Long Island. Okay. This is like a not, real.
Usually we can only get Tim Horton, we got Tim Howard.
And we're
this
like,
time.
Stop showing us your Timbits.
Goalkeeper for obviously of the U.S. men's national team, legend.
First of all, who
Everton.
Listens to this show that needs an explanation as to who he is? You know what I mean? Insanity.
Some people. You know what? Some people might need the help. But we are going to talk to the former U.S. men's national team, Colorado Rapids, Everton goalkeeper.
Wow.
And we can also announce officially, as if you're watching this, we are currently in Liverpool. We are going to Goodison Park. Everton is going to be taking on Arsenal, Alexis's Arsenal, and the Cooligans Clasico is going to be witnessed live by us.
That's right. We didn't get to see it in Florida, so we're going to go to sunny, beachy Liverpool, England in December.
This episode is going to be jam-packed. We're excited about the trips we've gone on in the past, the trips we're going on, where we currently are right now. So let's begin today with we have to talk about, obviously, the playoff game that we just attended. We went up to Foxborough a little bit early. We kind of filmed almost what was like a WWE promo. You know
right?
what I mean?
What do they call those? They don't call them promos. They call them something else.
They call them promos.
Do they call them promos? I don't know anything about wrestling. But yeah, I think the gentleman that we work with over at NYCFC, who directs all of our stuff, the great Tanner, he was just like, hey man, you know, just do like a nice light intro. And I went into full roast mode. I was like, nah. I was like, yo, I drove 4 hours. Oh, I'm getting it out.
Right. Yeah. I'm going in with full confidence that we're going to leave victorious, you know?
And some would say we're the reason why they won. No one would say that, but some would say, you know, some might say it.
The two people in the conversation right now would say that. Okay.
I said it and you said it. So therefore, that's everybody I know.
That is multiple. That's people. That is multiple. Yeah,
that's not just person.
But you know, there's always the, when you go in with too much confidence, and especially with, that's all we have, you know what I mean? we have confidence and we're nothing to back it up.
We're more of a braggadocious leading type of group, but also this was the greatest team in MLS regular season history.
Right.
And, but they had just had a 23-day layoff, which probably is what did them in. I mean, NYCFC played great, but they had to fight against that 23-day layoff, I think.
With that, yeah, and look, giving up a goal in the third minute of the game, I think highlights that exactly. Mm-hmm. But then they ended up scoring 8 minutes into the game. But look, this was the best matchup in the MLS Cup playoffs so far. Like these two teams were evenly matched, and it really did feel like. You know, we went in confident because that you want your team to win, but it's when the Revolution tied it up in the second half of extra time, when players could barely walk, everybody was cramping. The performance from Tavon Gray, who could the dude had one leg towards the end of that game. And
we were down to
it.
Seven guys and half a Tavon. That's what we were left with. And I still can't believe we managed to hold that the tie for 6 minutes to get it to penalties, which look, I've said it before and I'll say it again. MLS is different than every other league. You know, every other league, it's like you got to win your home games and you got to win a bunch of the away matches. And whoever ends at the end of the season at the highest, they win. In MLS, you want to do that if you want to win Supporter Shield. If you want to win MLS Cup, you got to go into the playoffs hot.
Yeah.
No team hotter right now than NYCFC. Maybe RSL, who keeps, you know, the cardiac kids over there. They seem to be playing really well. But NYCFC, undoubtedly right now, is the best team left in the playoffs, I think. Or at least the hottest, the most momentum.
Okay. The next game against the Philadelphia Union, who are also playing very, very well. You know, the possibility is, look, if NYCFC wins against the Philadelphia Union and RSL defeat the Portland Timbers, the MLS Cup final will be hosted at Yankee Stadium, okay?
The greatest soccer field of all time. The outfield of Yankee Stadium.
Babe Ruth once said, MLS Cup final will be played right here in the building I built.
I remember the great speech today. I can say that I'm the luckiest man in the world, except for everyone who's going to be at MLS Cup in this very room.
Lovely. Yes. Oh, my God.
Most people don't know the second bars.
Yeah. It was like it was yesterday.
I remember the black and white footage of it. Yeah.
But these matches in the playoffs have been incredible so far. Obviously, penalty kicks for Philadelphia and Nashville. Nashville missing every single penalty.
Bro, how does that happen?
Almost unheard of. I don't know.
How does that happen? By the way, has every match gone to 120 minutes?
A lot of these poor
players. It's cold. This is a summer league. It's now freezing, and they have to run for 120 minutes every game. What is happening?
The other match, RSL and Sporting Kansas City, a heartbreak of a loss for Sporting Kansas City. Bobby Wood in like the it was like the 90-something minute, 91st, 92nd minute. With the nail in the coffin and getting that goal. Bobby Wood, part of a relegated team in Bundesliga,
out of the men's national team,
out of the men's national team, almost forgotten. He scored that goal, and I saw about like 10 to 30 tweets of like, Bobby Wood plays for RSL. Bobby Wood is in America right now.
Wait, Bobby Wood's American again? We had no idea. It's when you watch that game, the two RSL playoff games, you're like, they can't possibly. Oh my God. Every time. And look, you got to give credit to Mastroeni, who's found a way to at least give them confidence. I don't know that he set them up to play really well, but the confidence that they play with, it's like, what else you got to lose? That's kind of, you can tell how they're playing.
Right, and Mascherini, especially, he's the assistant. He was the assistant at RSL, but he used to be the coach for Colorado Rapids for years. He's a proven coach. And
right.
When Freddie,
but if you don't follow MLS, their head coach left to become an assistant at another MLS team.
That RSL beat in the playoffs.
That RSL beat in the playoffs. I mean, think about that. Your head coach was like, I don't want to be the king here. I'm going to go be an assistant over there. And then loses to the team he used to be the head coach of.
Yeah.
It's MLS. This would only happen in MLS. Imagine Ole Gunnar Solskjaer left on his own accord to become the assistant at, I don't know, Stoke. You know, it's kind of.
It's a good gig. It's a good gig.
It's a good gig if you can get it. Oh man.
So these games have been incredible. Obviously so this weekend a big slate of games, and we're going to be in England, and we're going to watch the MLS Cup playoffs from England, which we've never experienced before. No. We got to find a pub and be like, "Hey, we need to turn on MLS right now."
We're going to be at a pub. And by the way, it's 8 p.m. local time in Liverpool when the game is going to be shown. So we're going to say like, "Hey, at peak bar time, hey, excuse me, would you mind putting on Sky Sports? There is a Major League Soccer playoff game." And they're going to be like, "The words you use after Sky Sports have confused
me." Yes, sir.
Me.
Soccer. One soccer, please. Yeah. I would like a soccer.
Oh, yes. Well, the Philadelphia Union are playing a New York City football club. We would like to see that, please. And a pint of your finest Carlsberg.
Thank you, good sir. Okay. Good chap. All right.
Yeah, cheerio.
They love it when you say that. Because
they
that's
don't
how they speak.
Hate it.
All right. You know, it's an interesting time because it's been a year, a little over a year since our friend Daryl Grove of Total Soccer Show passed away. And it's been interesting to see the continued amount of love and support. And November 29th, as they mentioned it on Taylor mentioned it on Total Soccer Show as well. Which is Daryl Grove's birthday.
Yeah.
It is now also International Daryl Grove Day, where we can take the time to remember a man who was so much appreciated by the American soccer community. And we just saw a couple clips, some throwback clips from when they were on the show. And even this Monday, this November 29th, I loved seeing all the tweets and all the remembrance and people saying like that they miss Daryl and miss hearing his voice. And especially this year with the U.S. men's national team, which this Englishman loved the U.S. men's national team more than almost anyone ever.
I knew more
I've
about it
met.
Than most Americans, which is crazy.
And to see the highs and lows, the successes that the U.S. men's national team has had, that part of it is like something's missing from that like joy and excitement because Daryl was not with us to celebrate it. But every
experience is different now without him. But what I've tried to do in the past year, and especially in remembrance of his birthday, is think about what he brought to the game. And try to perpetuate that as much as possible. He brought so much validity and so much love to the American game itself and so much attention that, we typically wouldn't get. So we try to do the same thing. And at the same time, you try to be a good person like he was, I know Taylor mentioned Richmond Conexiones, which is a charity that he was a big part of that helps Latin youth, which look at that, right? If he was 20, 30 years old, he would have helped us, if we grew up in Richmond. So they actually
our mentor.
Yeah, he could have been my dad, dude. They gave away the Daryl Grove Award, which is absolutely amazing. I'm not sure exactly who won it, but it's a beautiful thing. So if you have the patch or if you have a photo of with him if you got to see him at the World Cup Comedy Tour or somewhere else, or if you just have a memory of Daryl, hold it close. When Virgil Abloh passed away, I put something on Instagram that basically said look, no one is ever going to understand your goal, your goals, your drive and your determination to do something that you love and that you want to do. But just do it. You know what I mean? Time is the only thing that is really precious that we don't know how much of it we have. So go spend it doing something you actually want to do, not what other people think you should do. And Daryl's widow, Shannon, reached out and said this is exactly how Daryl thought. He goes, look, I may not have the biggest podcast in the world, but at least I don't have to go do something I don't want to do, like a corporate job or something else. And at the end of the day, whether it's something small or a life-changing thing, go do something you have always wanted to do. Go be with somebody that you've always wanted to be with. Go talk to someone you love and tell the people around you that you love them, because you never know when they're going to be gone. You never know when you're going to be gone. And, you know, Daryl, I don't know. I don't know what I believe in. So I don't know if you can hear me, but if you can, I love you and I miss you, brother.
So like we said, like Alexis mentioned, Richmond Conexiones, feel free to donate to an awesome organization that helps Latinx kids in Richmond with like soccer programs, coach drives, tutoring. They do book drives. They do a lot of great stuff. So feel free to donate. The link is on the screen right now, richmondconexiones.org. And if you're listening to the podcast, you'll see it in the description. So click on that link and help support. Also, someone that Daryl was also a very huge fan of will be joining us in a moment. Tim Howard will be talking to us in a moment. We heads up, we filmed this interview in Foxborough, Massachusetts, right before the NYCFC and New England Revolution playoff game. So you'll see us in a different location.
Yeah.
But with, you know, there's still a lot of love there. Trust me. So Tim Howard is coming up next.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram. Okay?
You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going
to... Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans, or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? I want you to do the intro.
Oh my goodness. I don't know if I can get through it because I'm too nervous, but an absolute honor to introduce our next guest. You may remember him as the Secretary of Defense.
That's right. Okay, salute this man when you see him in the street.
We're talking politics today. in Everton legend.
Men's national team legend.
U.S. men's national team. New York, New Jersey Metro Stars legend.
Also, New Jersey legend, all right?
Please, a big warm welcome for the one and only Tim Howard.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Hey, everything's good, man. Everything's good. I appreciate the Metro Star shout out. It's old school.
Right. Yeah. You know, and that's where let's start with.
Well, no. Come on. Hold on. I let you do the intro, but we got to have the first question. My guy's from Jersey.
I'm
born and raised in Newark. You know what it is. Everybody that comes in, I don't care if it's Bob Bradley. I don't care if you're Greg Berhalter. I don't care who you are. You're from Jersey. You get the first question. And this dictates whether we even continue the interview or not. Is it Taylor Ham or is it pork roll?
It's pork roll. I mean, that's just how we did in Central Jersey. I'm sorry.
You know what, though? You a legend, so you get to stay.
Wow.
But nah, it's Taylor Ham, baby. I even tried to give you an out there, Tim. I told you I was from Newark. I'm from the North.
I know. I'm Central Jersey. I got pork roll, which sounds nasty. A Taylor Ham is so much better. Pork roll sounds nasty.
You got to respect Taylor. He invented it.
Tim Howard, thank you so much for being here. Again, it's an absolute honor. I mean, a lot of people know, obviously I'm a big Everton fan. We're both huge U.S. men's national team fans. We grew up watching you. We're not trying to age you or make you feel old. But, you know, you mentioned...
As little babies, we saw your retirement announcement. And now here we are, grown men.
I mentioned the Metro Stars. That's where my first soccer games I went to. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I would go watch you play. And everybody was like, you got to watch you got to watch this guy. And even though at that time I didn't know too much about the game, but I knew everybody told me this guy is somebody special. And then you end up going to Manchester United. So that really I think at the time we didn't know what we had. We weren't aware. The American soccer culture wasn't as informed, I would say. But from when you left. Right. New Jersey and ended up going to England. When it comes to that American soccer acumen, how did it feel when you came back and you were like, yo, a lot's changed. Everybody's very well aware of what's going on over in Europe.
Well, I mean, similarly, you know, I come from immigrant parents, and anybody who's in the New York, New Jersey area, most of our first memories are somewhere in the Meadowlands, the old Giant Stadium, now MetLife, but whether it's Red Bull Arena, whatever, that's the area where people, you know, like I said, from immigrant parents, it was like there was a big game at the Meadowlands. I think it was USA versus Peru, and that was the first. I sat all the way up in the stands in 1988 or something, and I just remembered. I remember the first MetroStar game that I went to when I was in high school, and so, you know, I go back to all those years, and it was primitive. Soccer in America was young. There wasn't supporters groups. There wasn't, you know, this. I remember going to Kansas City or to Chicago, and the fans were nice. They were like, all right, can I have your autograph? And now you go there and they don't want to know about you. They want to boo and spit on you and all this crazy stuff. And that's cool. That all happened while I was living abroad and playing in the Premier League. And then I come back and it's like, man, everybody's got their own stadiums. The fan bases are crazy. They're excited. It's a passion now. And we have that in America.
Let me ask you about when you first get to Europe and, you know, you became like you were a very good goalkeeper when you first got to Manchester United, mm-hmm. but you became a legend when you got to Everton. And it was the first time that I actually saw, because I didn't really get a chance to witness the McBride stuff as much. It's the first time I saw a European fan base just accept an American. First, how did that feel? And second of all, did you have to tone down the New Jersey when the disrespectful chant started? Because, you know, we're built a certain way, Tim, right? There's only so much we can think, you know?
I know. Look, I think that I was always going to make it. You know, I was always going to make it. I went over there. I tried. I failed. I had some successes. I had some bumps in the road, but I was always going to succeed. My mindset was I was so focused that I was going to make it. And then I went to Everton and I just found a home there. You know, some people, you find a little pocket in life. You find a little niche, and I found a home. And so, you know, again, one of the greatest things in my life is that I became an Evertonian. I became one of them. We were the same. And it took hard work. It took loyalty and dedication. But yeah, I love it. I mean, that club is, you know, like I said, I play for Manchester United, which is the biggest football club in the world.
Right. Look, and speaking of being an Evertonian, I am an Evertonian because of you, Tim. Okay. I got the luxury when Everton were playing at the Florida Cup in Orlando, I got to shake your hand and tell you it's your fault. you know, you're the reason, because look, this is what I want to deride you for and praise you for, because the results, the ups and downs, it's challenging following any football club. Mm-hmm. We all know that. But the one thing that has been amazing, especially I got to, you know, as people know, I'm going to my first match at Goodison Park on Monday to see Everton take on Arsenal. And the one thing, especially going to Florida and meeting other Evertonians from all over the United States and from even some from Europe as well, the kindness, the warmth, the like, thank you for, you know, supporting this club. I know you're not from Liverpool, but it means the world that you would support such a club with so much history. And being in Orlando, getting to meet all those people, seeing you on stage, seeing how excited everybody was to meet you, made me even more proud with the decision that I made. I'm like, this is, we'll be talking about a club winning all these trophies or whatever, but it's like, there's something, there's a family that I didn't even know I was a part of. And that's what Tim Howard had brought to my life.
Well, it's funny you say that. I appreciate it because Everton is the people's club. It's a family club. And that's what I fell in love with when I first went there was I was like, this is more my speed. I'm a fabric of this club. And the people, the lunch ladies and the kit men and the fans, everybody's the same. Everybody's the same. No, nobody's higher than anybody else. And that's the fans as well. And I got to be honest, that's what I love about now being retired, having brought a generation of Americans to love Everton. And so now that I don't play anymore, I have that in common with them. And so many people like yourself will come up to me and say, hey, I support Everton because of you. And I'm just like, it makes me feel like on top of the world.
We're going to England. We're gonna go to Goodison Park. It's gonna be my first time there. Both of ours first time there. But Alexis will be with the Arsenal fans in the away end, watching this game. Do you have any memories or things or any anecdotes of you know playing against Arsenal? Anything that we should look out for or prepare for that particular match day?
Well, listen. Yeah, I do. Listen, I said Manchester United. I play for them. They're the biggest club in the world. Everton is the greatest football club in the world. When you walk into Goodison, be prepared to be walking into paradise. It's a throwback to the old, what football is actually supposed to be, walking through those turnstiles, seeing the pitch and the older type stadium. Get yourself a pint of beer and a pie, and then you'd be full on English. You'd be ready for the game.
Nice. When you look back, though, playing at Goodison Park, is there like a memory you have of like maybe like what the toughest striker you went up against or like one of those moments? Because one of the things that we keep hearing from Everton fans is that it feels like there's like the ghosts of old Everton are there. You know, like it's such an old stadium that it feels like the old players are looking out for you and still there. Yeah. Is there somewhere where you remember you're like, damn, how did I do that in that stadium?
Well, actually a game Lennon Donovan played in, I scored a goal. I think it was 2012. And that's one that sticks into my memory because of just the fans' reaction. But always walking out of the tunnel, you'll hear Zed Cars, which is the theme song that Everton comes out to. And it's a dark, rickety, really tight tunnel. And I can just remember walking down and then you walk back up and it's, you know, you see the heavens and you hear the noise of the crowd lift because obviously their heroes, their idols are about to take the field. And I was one of them. So again, very blessed.
When you look back at that time, one of the things that I remember as an Arsenal fan, there wasn't many times other than when you were playing where I'm like, oh, I need to watch this game. And it was like, yo, Tim Howard's there. He makes us look great. The dude's from Jersey. But when Landon Donovan went on loan, what do you remember about that era? Because the first thing I remember is people were like, hey, this American's pretty good. And I'm like, yo, we got two of them now in this squad. And then he did come back to MLS. And a lot of MLS fans, even at the time, were like, yo, we wish he would have stayed out there because we thought, especially at that era, that it would have sort of maybe changed the perception a little bit faster of Americans. And we'll ask you about some of the Americans that are doing it now. But talk to me about that time. How did you feel about him going back? Back to MLS. Did you had hope at that time that he had stayed? Because he was playing well.
Selfishly, I hope he stayed because he was a brilliant footballer and he was a match winner. And at the time with Everton, we were a bunch of grinders. You know, we were cut from this cloth that David Moyes molded and we didn't have a lot of match. We had Steven Pienaar, maybe one or two others, but really Landon came in and this was a guy who could play in the Premier League and be elite. So selfishly, I wanted him to, but let's never, you know, no one in the universe or in American soccer can question Landon Donovan's career. He did it right. He earned his money. He won a lot of things. And so, but again, I didn't want to see him get back on that plane because I needed a teammate to score goals.
You know, we've had Landon Donovan on the show and for us, I mean, these are monumental, you know, you guys, you two in particular have provided such incredible moments for the American soccer fan. But then for us directly, we're like, we actually get to say, yo, thank you for scoring that goal against Algeria. How did it feel to make that pass? This is incredible. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Yeah, bro, you could have thrown a curveball for the Yankees with that arm. When you saw Landon Donovan score that goal, what did you in your head were you like, yo, I should get an assist here?
I did just as much as he did.
Listen, those forward boys get all the glory, and I'm proud of them. I in that moment when you're at the pinnacle of your career, you're in the biggest game. I was just hoping they didn't concede and draw the game. It was a brilliant moment to be a part of in U.S. soccer history. But Landon and Clint and Josie and the big boys, they get all the credit, as they should.
always getting all the love.
The humility.
Yeah.
We're about to have a World Cup next year, but I mentioned, the Secretary of Defense. I mean, it's interesting. I remember doing a comedy show where we had to do like PowerPoint presentations, and I did a PowerPoint presentation on you, on the fact that you were called the Secretary of Defense and making all those saves and all the memes that were created. Yeah, I literally did slides of like all the different memes of you, like stopping a meteor, all this other stuff. But I mean, what does that do for your, obviously it was a tough loss against, to get bounced out of the World Cup in that fashion. But what does it do for your personal career, and when you get back to your club and everybody saw what you just accomplished, did a certain level of it, like, we lost in the
walk
World
in
Cup.
Like the price went up,
but you tell your agent
next contract. I don't know if you watched the World Cup.
I think I had all, I played in the Premier League for a decade plus before that World Cup. So I wasn't doing anything different, I think the greatest thing about that World Cup and that performance against Belgium was that we as a team got to see soccer transition in America to mainstream. It became less about just the soccer fans, and now everybody was paying attention. And that's just a cool thing to be a part of. It sucked to lose, but again, we went toe to toe with one of Europeans' golden generations. Belgium, that's the best team they've had in 30 years, we could be proud of ourselves for that night.
I'm just curious. In that game, obviously there's always a lot of trash talk being said on any game. You made so many incredible saves. What were the Belgium? Some of the Belgian players must have been like, "Yo, Tim, really, dog? Like, you chill." What did they say?
In the moment, they're just trying to whoop my tail, So you can see it on their faces. So I think when you're locked in and you're competing at that level, you can see it on their faces that they're just kind of mesmerized that there's another save. The raise of the eyebrows and the shaking of the head. So I try to stay locked in.
I would have asked to swap jerseys with you just so that I could burn it to get rid of the omen that you left on that team.
True.
Let's talk a little bit about the goalkeeping class for U.S. men's national team right now. I mean, there's, I've seen you talk about this as well, just about fighting for your position, right? And Zach Steffen and Matt Turner are in that position where Greg Berhalter has like a tough decision to make almost every single game. What is how do you feel about this last few years of the goalkeeping class that you've seen?
Well, look, I think it's always, there's only one shirt, you can't get subbed in and stuff. I mean, you can, but no one ever subs in the goalkeeper, and so there's one shirt to fight for. Look, I think Zach Steffen is supremely talented. I've been on record saying it. I think he's the sky's the limit for him. Matt Turner's had a brilliant season for New England, and he's not really put a foot wrong when he's been asked to play for the national team. And so, whoever plays, the other guy's going to be upset, I think ultimately, when you look at Zach Steffen, you're looking at a generational talent that, in years to come should be, if all things go well, the greatest U.S. goalkeeper, there was or is. But again, time will tell that, but he has the ability.
When you, in your career, one of the biggest benefits that you had was you got playing time. And when you moved to Everton, you got a chance to be the starter unless you were injured. Mm-hmm. When you look at Zach Steffen, he's number two to an incredible goalkeeper. Do you say to somebody like him, if you were guiding their career, go get playing time or stay where you're going? Because you got a guy like Matt Turner who's nipping at your heels.
Great question. He just signed a contract extension to 2025. So what I would say for any athlete is this is your job. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Get as much money as you can and make as much money as you can, because unlike other professions, this is going to be finished at 35 if you're lucky. And so first and foremost, get that sorted out. He's on the right path. He's not going to sit on the bench for very long, whether that's at Manchester City or if he has to go on loan and get games, he'll do that. But I think he's doing it in the right way. And look, if he has to take a hit here or there because Matt Turner's going to play one or two games while he's not getting as many minutes, that's part of it, but he's on the right path.
Okay. And let me just remind you just how Jersey my guy is. He goes, yo, first thing, secure the bag.
Secure.
Yo, get that money right.
Of course.
You
course.
We got till 35 to stack that end. You know what I mean?
That's it.
Why I love Tim Howard, yo. This is my guy. He's like, first piece of advice, get that guap. Second piece of advice, get more guap.
Okay. Just Tim Howard, Financial Advisor LLC. I love it.
Hell yeah, dog. I love this. These guys are called Gully Squad, all right? Because that's how we keep it. We keep it going.
All right.
And we give them the opportunity to ask up a question. Hey, see, my guy gets it. Stack that money. You know what I mean? So we let them ask a couple questions. We got a great question from Mike Thomas, who's a Philadelphia Union fan. He said, and this is one of my favorite things about retirement, Tim Howard, is the exercising don't stop. He just gets a beautiful editor and he puts it on Instagram. The thirst traps are real. Do you have any tattoo regrets? And you are covered essentially head to toe in tattoos. Do you have any tattoo regrets?
Man, I got a lot of tattoo regrets. I mean, I'm nearly, you know, probably 90% of my body's covered. So, yeah. So that being said, there's probably a whole handful of regrettable tattoos, but they're on there to tell a story. So good fun.
Okay. I wonder where they are. Look at his Instagram. He shows you every body part, basically. So you'll get to see it.
They're all over.
One thing, this was about, 3 years ago? There was a tattoo that you, a picture of you getting a tattoo, like on the side of your butt, on your butt, kind of like what? I mean, bro, you know what you're asking for when you put that on the internet. The comments are gonna be fierce. Okay, hey.
If I did that, they would ban me from Instagram.
listen, we had some party tats with my boys in a band, and you know, people on the internet go crazy. So I can't help them. That they're on their own with that.
Yeah. It's like that old Ted Alexandro joke. He's like, I can't control who's looking. I just got to bring the heat. Yeah. That's basically it.
We have a couple more questions. I think this is a really good one. This is actually from, I'm trying to find who wrote it. Basically, from Siri Brown. Look, you probably prepared really heavily when you were a player. What's some of your pregame, rules or your routine for now that you're on air? Do you do anything different? Are you still doing a bunch of pushups or whatever? What is your pregame for now being an on-air commentator?
A lot of preparation. It's less, less physical and obviously more studying, repetition, loads of research notes. I just always make sure I have brilliant producers there at NBC. And, they always said, just make sure you're over-prepared and you have more notes and information and statistics and comments than you'll ever use on air. And so I always go home every weekend. I probably have pages full of stuff I didn't use, but I always make sure I have it.
Okay, yeah, you got
to... hold on, send it to us, because we don't prepare at all.
We need it.
You got some leftover. Send it this way.
You
got
to put Robbie Musto in his place, bro. <Yeah. laughs> Thank you so much for joining us, man. This is an absolute honor. We have a couple pieces of business before we let you go. We have to get to our Golazo gift. I know that you mentioned, that you did score a goal.
Yeah.
For Everton Football Club. It one of the most amazing things you'll ever see. But to be honest, and you've said this many times, you didn't celebrate that goal because you said, a goalkeeper scoring against another goalkeeper in that fashion, you didn't want to, embarrass him in any way, but that's all done.
Yeah.
For this is
scratch that. All right.
This is your opportunity to celebrate that.
I'm scoring. If I score, I'm celebrating next time.
Okay, so then let's give you a scenario.
Okay.
Let's say you're about to run up. You're a goalkeeper, you're about to run up. At end of the match, it's a corner. The coach is sending you up. And on the way up, the coach says, by the way, I know you're an owner of Memphis 901. Everybody go check out Memphis 901. Get season tickets if you're in Memphis. But if you score a goal right now in this corner at the end of this match, we'll also make you part owner of Everton, huh?
Okay.
Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal.
So
you score the header. How do you celebrate Tim Howard?
Ball goes in, bang. Boom! That's how I'm celebrating.
Hit him with the...
Love it. Love it. Okay?
I'm surprised it wasn't the give me the money.
Unbelievable. Tim Howard, this is a great preparation for my first time at Goodison Park. I'm honored that this was the pregame to my first match at Goodison Park. Seriously, I will treasure it forever. Good. So thank you again for joining us, man. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go?
Well, most importantly is this holiday season and any time of the year. You know, I, in my heart, work with Ronald McDonald House Charities. And it's just something that we have here in Memphis and all over the country. It's near and dear to my heart. And it's, you know, when families go through what they go through, to be able to have the housing and all the accommodations and food and gifts that Ronald McDonald House Charities provides, it's priceless. So go check that out.
That's awesome. Absolutely. Everybody do that. And yeah, look, I know he's the big Everton fan, but you know, as a dude from Jersey growing up, getting to see you shine, that was awesome. Especially for those of us in Newark who grew up without dads, which was everyone in Newark. You basically were like, yeah, look, our older brother's doing pretty good. You know?
An inspiration.
You know? Hey, maybe we could go to Europe, go say what's up. And they're like, everybody stay out. But thank you so much. It's absolutely awesome and honor.
Thank you so much again, Tim Howard. All right, everybody, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Also follow at Fubo Sports and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show and more clips as well. Okay, Tim, well, we're going to end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So please join us in this. Again, absolutely honored to have you join us. So for Tim Howard, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
Let's go. Cooligans, baby.